Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In this chapter, we have a further description of life and labor under the sun and what our proper response should be. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who were already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, with some background notes. These first three verses of chapter 4 form part of the conclusion to what we had in chapter 3. Remember, there were no chapter divisions in the original book of Ecclesiastes. So how do these first three verses of chapter 4 form part of the conclusion to chapter 3? Well, you remember in chapter 3, we saw that God is totally sovereign and has an appropriate time for everything, and he has a reason for everything. We are given some insight to God's reasons, but the Lord has purposely not given us all his reasons. And he has a reason for that plan and course of action as well. God's sovereignly appointed times involve all people and all events. As we've said before, there are no maverick molecules in the universe. Even the unrighteousness and evil and injustice in this world are not out of God's control and do serve a purpose in God's overall plan. So in view of this truth, that is, knowing that God is in complete control and has appointed times and events right down to the personal level, but has hidden most of the details from us, what should our proper response be? Our response should not be to live life under the sun without acknowledging God and his sovereignty. No, that would be the wrong response. And unfortunately, it is the response of many people today. The proper response is to live our lives in light of the divine revelation that we have, that God has given us. In that way, we will respond appropriately to every appointed time and event that God allows to come our way. And in that way, we can take one day at a time and live joyously and be happy in the activities the Lord gives us. Chapter 3, verse 22, once again. So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage or portion or lot. Or who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Now, if we don't rise above the sun and see this conclusion from divine revelation, then the first three verses of chapter 4 are the only logical conclusion under the sun. There's so much oppression in this world that death would be better than living many times. And best of all, under the sun, it would be better not to be born at all. Verse 3. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. How much better it is to see life and labor from above the sun, from God's perspective. Then we can live a joyous life by acknowledging God and his sovereignty and live in the light of his divine revelation, the Word of God. Yes, in the light of the New Testament, there will be times of suffering and persecution in our lives for the sake of Christ, if we are committed Christians. But we don't try to get ourselves persecuted. No, our norm is to be at peace with all men, Romans 12:19, and to enjoy the things that God richly supplies us to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Let me just read that verse. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Now, what should be our attitude towards work? What's the proper response here? Should we be workaholics or try to do as little as possible? The answer to that question is here in chapter 4. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this chapter. So doctrinal point number 1, contentment is better than striving. Contentment is better than striving. Verses 4 through 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning now with verse 4. Again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. As Solomon looked around him at the workaday world, he saw two work ethics. On the one hand, there was the workaholic. Verse 4. Again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. These people were out to get as much as they could, more than their neighbors. They were the rat race, dog-eat-dog crowd. Rivalry and jealousy were the result. On the other hand, there were the sluggards. Verse 5, the fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. They were so lazy that they would starve to death rather than work. You know any people like that? Did you say you're a teenager? Only kidding. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says about the sluggard. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. From Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 11. So what's the answer here? Should we be workaholics or aim for sipping lemonade in a hammock on a beach in Hawaii doing a minimum amount of work? Answer, neither. Verse 6 gives us the balance. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. That is moderation. The figurative language of one hand full of rest, quietness, and one hand full of labor conveys balance and moderation and contentment. The two-fists full of labor of the workaholic is futile and striving after wind. Contentment is better than striving. Now, this doctrinal point is certainly taught in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Let me ask you, are you content with what you have? Contentment is better than striving. Doctrinal point number 2. Sharing is better than loneliness. Sharing is better than loneliness. Verses 7 through 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning now with verse 7. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. As Solomon looked over the labor landscape, he saw another group of individuals who had another approach and attitude towards work. These are your typical misers. They work long and hard but keep everything for themselves. They hoard and don't share. They purposely cut off all ties, including family and friends. Talk about loneliness. You know anyone like this? This is futile and really sad. Verse 8. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and grave misfortune. Sharing is always the way to go in all areas of life and labor, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Sharing with others results in help and assistance, verse 10, and comfort, verse 11, and strength and security, verse 12. God did not design us to be wealthy hermits. Listen to the words of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 concerning riches and what to do with riches. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, ready to share. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Sharing is better than loneliness. And now what about practical application from Ecclesiastes chapter 4? Expect the crowd to be fickle. Expect the crowd to be fickle. Verses 13 through 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning now with verse 13. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There is no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. In these verses, an illustration is given of a rag-to-riches story of a poor boy who even spent some time in prison and then rose to the power of being a king. But he didn't live happily ever after because another hero arose to take over the throne. And this cycle of temporary popularity goes on year in and year out because people are fickle. If you depend on success and popularity, you will be disappointed. It is futile in striving after wind because success and popularity are fleeting. Steadfastness and loyalty are rare. They are not the norm. This is true in all areas of life, including the ministry. It's often been said you can please some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time. Now, this is not a Bible verse, but it is a biblical truth, certainly taught here in Ecclesiastes. So don't be discouraged if you are experiencing disappointment right now with people. Expect the crowd to be fickle.